He's the only one that can fix the things that are broken in our lives. I am glad to be back. I was back last Sunday, but I appreciate greatly the Jack and Don taking over for me and being willing to do that the Sunday I came back. I was less with it than I thought that Sunday, apparently, but I think I'm about back to normal now. So, We left Tokyo at 5 p.m. Friday, and we landed in Wichita at 5:49 p.m. on Friday. You think about that one for a little while. And we flew, well, we were a total of about 20-some hours total, but we flew almost 12 hours over the ocean. It's a long trip. It takes you backwards. But I am thankful for those that are able to fill in for me. Appreciate that. Thank the Lord for his watching over and enabling for what needed to be done. I've had this thought for some time, and I've kind of been thinking about it, and then wasn't sure. And then I think it was Wednesday night that I think Kathy read this verse in Isaiah 61. Either that or I just imagined it, but this has been kind of coming back to me over and over again. And my topic is God's swaps or God's exchanges. And I'm going to read in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. That's where our main verse is going to be this morning. But I'm really going to start in the first verse, even though I really want to get down to verse 3. But just to kind of... These verses kind of all need to be together. So Isaiah chapter 61 and starting in verse 1. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." I'm going to stop there for just a minute. We know that these verses refer to our Lord Jesus Christ. And part of the way we know that is because he read them in the New Testament and said that they referred to him. So we know by the context as well, but he made it very clear. These refer to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is speaking about what he did. Verse 3 says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And especially this verse 3, I had thoughts about God's exchanges. So if you saw that there, to give, just reminded me as I was reading through this and thinking about it, what Tom said this morning, to remember that word, giveth. And that word, that's about God's grace. And so here it says to give unto them beauty for ashes. That's an exchange. Oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is God's exchanges. I really enjoyed when I thought about this, just thinking about how God does things, because we experience and know the difficulties and so on, and the troubles and the times of grief and mourning, but God has offered to exchange those for something else, something that he provides, and it's all through our Lord Jesus Christ. I always impress, you know, how the Lord puts things together, and how Tom started this morning to bring us into that thought about the victory that we've been given. And it is because of that victory that he does exchange for us these things. I want to go to an interesting place, Esther, the book of Esther, which is two books before Psalms, and the 9th chapter. Esther in the 9th chapter and verse 22. Esther chapter 9, verse 22. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. You know the story of Esther, I hope, but if you don't, essentially, Haman had really arranged for all the Jews to essentially be annihilated in the kingdom. And as far as they could see, when that happened, when that proclamation was done, as far as they could see, there was no hope for them. I'm sure that brought a time of mourning. But God worked through Mordecai and Esther. God worked to turn that around. And so this is the result that we see in this chapter. And it says, the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy and from mourning into a good day. And this is what God does. This is the work of God, because we can't, as we heard this morning, first of all, we can't help ourselves. We can't change our situation. But like the song says, we can bring everything to Him. He is the one that is able to turn things around for us. And I think about this as, you know, if you had something old and didn't work, and somebody said, bring that to me and I'll give you a brand new one that's better, would you take that exchange? I think most of us would take that exchange for most things. And that's exactly what God has offered to us. He says, what you have is broken and damaged, and it doesn't work, and it brings you sorrow. Bring it to me and I will exchange it. Let's go to the psalm. We've had this psalm on Sunday night already, but the 30th psalm. The psalmist has a lot to say about these kinds of things, and I didn't want to get too bogged down in the psalms, but in this particular psalm, the 30th psalm, he says something very clear along these lines. In verse 10 of this psalm, he says, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. He says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. You see that those two exchanges there, the mourning into dancing and the sackcloth, which was a sign of the mourning, a sign of the sadness. It was a garment, if you will, that was used to demonstrate to others that you were in a time of mourning. And he says, you've taken that and you've given me a garment that is a garment of gladness, just as we saw in our first verse, where it says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so, again, the psalmist, and we've been studying these psalms on Sunday night, and I really appreciate the psalmist because he's not one of these people that is just always kind of bubbly and happy and everything. We find David in some really dire situations that have brought him to a very low place in his life. And I'm glad that we see that, because sometimes we're in the same place. We find ourselves in that same place. And the key thing about David and about the Psalms, whenever we find that place, we also find the resolution, where to go. We had a psalm on Wednesday night. Kathy went through a psalm on Wednesday night, and I really enjoyed that because, again, just over and over we find this. David knows where to go in his time of trouble, in his time of sorrow, in his time of distress. Since we're in the psalm, let's just go to Psalm 126, and we'll look at that one real quick. These were the only two that I picked out of the psalms for this particular thought. But Psalm 126. Actually, I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's really short, and so I'm just going to read the whole thing. Psalm 126. It says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." This is a whole psalm about God's exchanges. He exchanged their captivity for freedom and their sorrow for joy. And he does the same for us. He has turned our captivity, as we kind of heard this morning already, captive into sin. But God turned our captivity and gave us victory. Captive to death, but God turned that captivity and gave us victory. And he has turned our sorrow into joy. Another place I wanted to look at is Deuteronomy. There's an interesting statement. This same thought is found a couple places because Nehemiah also mentions this, but I'll just briefly tell you, the story of Balaam was that he was hired to curse Israel. And he tried to do that, but really couldn't. Every time he tried to pronounce a curse on them, a blessing would come out. And in this Deuteronomy 23, I'm going to go down to verse 5. I don't know how much of this I'm going to read, but, well, really just verse 5, I guess, of this chapter. But this is Moses reminding them of what God did. And so he says here in verse, well, we probably need to read verse 4, don't we? Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. He says, "Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee." So here we find him turning the curse into a blessing. No matter how hard Balaam tried to do that, he couldn't get the curse to come out. God turned it into a blessing. You know, the enemy wants to curse us every day. I'm glad that God is able to turn that into blessing. So many times the things the enemy brings our way, and sometimes at the beginning they don't seem to be a blessing, right? Sometimes things come our way, the enemy brings something, and it doesn't look like that's a blessing. But if we'll just leave it with the Lord, he will turn those things into blessings. He's the only one that can do that. Jesus mentions this. Well, first let's go to Luke, I guess, the sixth chapter. Luke chapter 6. He says in verse 20 of this chapter 6, it says, "He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." And as I read this, I was reminded that sometimes we don't see the turning that God brings. And in some cases, we might not see it entirely until he takes us home. And so that reminded me that there's a great exchange that is coming when we will exchange this body and this life for an eternal life and a glorified body. That is the final great exchange. And it says in that day that he will wipe away all tears. There's still tears that happen down here. But there is coming a day when all of those will be wiped away. And I believe that that means also that they will be forgotten. That's the way I understand that to be expressed, that he will wipe them away and we will no longer remember them. We have hope. In our first verse in Isaiah, it mentioned the oil of joy for mourning. I thought about that oil of joy a little bit. I want to go to Romans 14. You know, the oil in Scripture speaks often to us about the Holy Spirit. And so when he said the oil of joy for mourning, I thought about, you know, God, by his Holy Spirit, he brings us joy. In the 14th chapter of Romans and verse 17, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Joy in the Holy Ghost. The disciples, the apostles, after Jesus had ascended, I think there was a certain amount of sadness there. There was certainly sadness when he was crucified. And then, of course, they had joy again when he returned. But as he ascended, I think there was probably a certain amount of sadness in them that he was going away. But he reminded them that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, that they would tarry and receive the Holy Spirit. And they did. And after that, you see great joy. great joy and great boldness as well that we see after that they received the Holy Spirit there in the second chapter of Acts. But the Holy Spirit brings joy. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. There are a number of places where this is expressed. I just wanted to notice a couple of these. I want to read, I'm just going to read verse 6. This really says kind of everything I need to get to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." I've always kind of enjoyed this verse a little bit because if you kind of pay attention to what it says, this looks like a little bit of a contradiction here, right? Received the word in much affliction with joy. And those things don't seem to go together. Those two words seem like they shouldn't be in the same sentence. But this is what God does. Even in the midst of affliction, by his Holy Spirit, he gives us joy. Receiving the word, you know, that affliction, that wasn't caused by the hearing of the word. That was caused by the conditions around them that they were in. But receiving the word as they yielded to the Holy Spirit brought them joy. And so, yes, sometimes as we are here, we will experience affliction. But through his Holy Spirit, we can have that turned into joy. Joy. The world doesn't understand sometimes how God's people can rejoice even in the times of affliction. Well, they won't understand it because they don't know how it happens. But he said in our first verse, he said, "Oil of joy for mourning." That's the exchange. I'm glad that we can come to him with our heaviness, with the things that trouble us, and that by his Holy Spirit, he gives us joy. The other thing that caught my attention there in that verse was the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm actually going to go back to Isaiah 61 real quick because down further in that chapter, I want to read something. verse 10 of Isaiah 61, I'm going to read that. He says here, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. And so here he speaks about garments and the garments of salvation. Up above, we saw the garment of praise. And I don't think these are necessarily two separate things, because one elicits the other. Again, as we heard this morning, that great salvation that God has brought to us, it brings rejoicing and praise. The garment of praise. When we praise him, it moves us beyond the current situation and the current circumstances. There's a song, I don't remember all the song, but I just remember the kind of the main thought of the song, which is, you can praise the hurt away. It's one of the main lines in that song. You can praise the hurt away. Another song that I've heard is, I will praise you in the valley. Even when things seem really difficult, we can praise him. And that praise, notice, by the way, that it's a garment. When I think about these things, I like to kind of visualize something. And so a garment is something that you put on that covers you. Maybe like a robe, which we saw down here, by the way, in the 10th verse, the robe of righteousness. Something that covers you, so it envelops you, if you will. And so I think that, you know, these uses of these words are intentional. God didn't just write it this way for fun, but they were intentional. There's something for us to learn. And that is that as we envelop ourselves with praise, not our praise, but his praise. And what I mean by envelop is that it's an overlapping, if you will, or enveloping part of our lives. It kind of covers our whole life. Again, I'm going to go back to the Psalms for this, but the 9th Psalm I want to read here. There's so many Psalms. When I started going down this path, I thought, I could spend, you know, all morning just going through Psalms about this particular topic. Because one thing the psalmist knew, again, is praise. He knew about praise, and that's where he turned from time and time again as he found himself in the difficult times. Verse 1 of Psalm 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Now, one of the things about praise is, as you saw here, praise is essentially talking about what God has done and who he is. And when we praise him, we're speaking about his greatness, and we're speaking about what he's done for us and who he is to us. And those are the things that, as you begin to do that, it takes away that spirit of heaviness. It's exactly the way the psalmist experienced it. Psalm 33. Again, we could really go through almost every psalm, to be honest, but I just picked a couple more here. But I wanted to notice this one in Psalm 33 because it brings a couple things together for us. In verse 1 of Psalm 33, he says, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Now, the reason I wanted to pick this particular verse is because I want to notice these two things, how they just came together now. You see the rejoicing and the praise coming together. When he says rejoice in the Lord, and then he equates that to praise, right? He says, for praise is comely for the upright. In other words, that rejoicing, it was praise. And so those two things, when we rejoice in the Lord, we are indeed praising him. That attitude of rejoicing, which he gives us, is a praise unto him. And so praise, the garments of praise, covers us and wraps around us, and it shields out all of that stuff that is bringing us down. Psalm 35. And verse 28. Actually, let's read verse 27 with that. Psalm 35 and verse 27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." Now, the reason I picked out this verse, again, like I said, there's so many verses in Psalms, but when this verse says that something I think that's important, all the day long. There's kind of that enveloping sense right there, is it's a continual thing that essentially covers us, if you will, from the difficulties and the things that come our way in life and would bring us down. When we speak his praise, it says, "Shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." This doesn't mean you have to go around talking all day long about it, but you know, in our heart, there's a praise that comes forth, even when we're in the midst of other things. There's a praise that comes forth. We don't know, sometimes we don't know what exactly is expecting us around the next turn, that sort of thing. But as we go through our day and we're praising the Lord and we're speaking about his praise, about his works and about his goodness and so on, when those things do come, we're already covered, enveloped in the praise. And so our attitude is different. I don't know if you notice this or not, but if you are in that attitude of praise, when the things do come, our attitude about how we deal with them is already different because we're in that attitude of praise. And our minds are already set upon the Lord. Remember what he said? I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. That is what God is doing. Exchanging our tumult for peace as well. The last thing in our verse was beauty for ashes. Now, you probably, if you read the book of Job, you would see this, but one of the ways of showing mourning was to use ashes, and they would put some ashes on their clothes and some on their head. It was to show that they were in mourning. And I don't know if maybe that's supposed to, you know, maybe it doesn't look as good or something. But here it says he's going to exchange beauty for ashes. You know, that beauty is our Lord himself. As we heard this morning, and I just really so appreciate how God puts things together. But as we heard this morning, it is through and by our Lord Jesus Christ that we have victory. It is through and by him that we have anything that we have. We have all that we have. And so he is that beauty that God gives us for our ashes of our old life. It's not very pretty. It's not pretty at all. But he exchanges. He gives us beauty. He gives us the oil of joy, his Holy Spirit. Joy that comes through the Holy Spirit. That, again, unbelieving man can't understand that. Can't understand how that's possible. And he exchanges our spirit of heaviness. You know, the thought about spirit of heaviness is also something that kind of drapes over you, if you will. It's like an enveloping thing as well. I think of that as some sort of garment that's like really heavy. I always have like picture things, and so you'll have to bear with me here. But I watched the show where a guy still makes the old armor that they used in the medieval times, you know, out of metal and a helmet and an armor and all the way down to the hands and everything, and he makes all this stuff still. And I was watching him do that, and I thought, man, that must have been heavy. But they had to wear that. But you know what? There are many things in our lives that weigh us down. that are heavy. And sometimes we just put them on and we wear them unnecessarily. But God's garment of praise is light. It's light. So he doesn't just try to fix that garment of heaviness that we had, that spirit of heaviness. He exchanges it. Here, let me take that. And here, have this. It's better. It's light. He doesn't just try to comfort our mourning only. He gives us joy to replace it. I'm glad that God is a God of swaps or exchanges, that we can come to him with those things that we really need to get rid of and swap them out for something much, much, much better, because that's what God wants to do for us. That's all I had this morning. Any questions or comments?